This is the State of Things from the Spirit Square studio of WFAE in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm Frank Stachow. Young voters helped secure President Obama's victory in 2008. The big question for 2012 is, will young people turn out to support him again? The colleges and universities in Charlotte are wired into the Democratic National Convention. Johnson C. Smith University hosted a cyber summit yesterday. They called it You Future. And it connected college students with elected officials to engage in the political process. Ronald Carter is the president of Johnson C. Smith University, and he joins us in the studio today, along with Malcolm Graham, in New York, the North Carolina state senator, who participated in You Future. And I want to welcome both of you to the program. Great to have you here.
Good afternoon, Frank. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you, and we're joined by two students who participated in yesterday's summit, Michael Jordan and Lauren Simmons. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for being on the program.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Carter, tell us about the idea for You Future. Where did it come from? What is it?
Well, You Future emerged out of a discussion between Johnson C. Smith University and the Black Congressional Caucus Institute. The Institute has the mission to educate voters today and to train leaders for tomorrow. As we talked about what could be done programmatically in Charlotte during the DNC, we came up with the idea to simply educate our young people around the emerging issues that impact on the quality of their living and learning, as well as to begin to excite their imaginations and their vision about seeing themselves in the future, so You Future.
So how do you do that? What happened?
Well, a lot of planning to make this happen. We worked for over 5 or 6 months in the technical aspects of bringing this program together. And the idea was to then invite 20 colleges and universities to campus, 300 students, to engage the political leaders on these issues that will impact on their education.
How did they do that?
Now, what do you mean?
How did they engage the leader? I mean, technically, sort of what really happened on the ground when all the planning was done?
When all the planning was done, we made it possible for our students to sit in front of members of the Congressional Black Caucus and to talk with them face-to-face, but also to have the opportunity to tweet questions in. Now, we had a number of students representing other colleges and universities across the country tweeting in and also Skyping.
So, Senator Graham, what was your role in all of this?
Well, also, as well as being a state senator, I work with Johnson C. Smith University as special assistant to the president for community engagement and government affairs. And I work directly with the Congressional Black Caucus Institute to organize and plan the event, identifying the respective college to participate, making sure that we contacted the Congressional Black Caucus so that their membership would show up and participate. So working with the universities, working with the institute, and structuring the program, as well as identifying the students from Johnson C. Smith University to participate and make sure that their voices was heard, talking to members of Congress and to sharing their perspectives for the upcoming election.
So, Lauren, let me start with you. As one of the students who participated, what kind of questions did you have? What did you ask?
One of the questions that I emailed in while I was sitting there was Obama going to be able to fix the crisis with the student loans? And that question was answered because at this point for me, education and the state of education is really going to weigh in for me at this point. And that's one of the rising issues, and I think that's how he's going to really be able to reach a lot of college students, because at this point Mitt Romney is trying to shy away from even Pell Grants and the different just bringing down student loan interest rates. So for me, just listening to the Congress men and women touch on education was very important for me.
Well, what was the answer you got?
That Obama, during this campaign, and if he's reelected, is going to try to make sure that we have that space, that room, because I believe it was like last month or early July that they were trying to make it where 6 months post-graduation, you wouldn't be able to have that room, that breathing room. You'll automatically start paying on your loans, even if you want to enter into grad school. So that was a problem for me because I desire to go to grad school. So listening to that really helped me on yesterday.
Michael, what questions did you have?
One of the questions that I had was, what would the younger politicians do to reach college students? And would it be feasible for them to give college students a voice on especially student loans? And, you know.
What do they say?
Well, I failed to get that question answered.
All right. So Senator Graham, coming right back to you on that one. That and actually the earlier, you know, something Lauren said. I mean, one of the things you know as a seasoned politician and office holder is that the president doesn't have complete authority or discretion over questions like this. It's a political process, and I think that's what they're learning about. You can't just wave a wand and say, I'm president, here's what we're doing with student loans. A lot of that is up to Congress, and there are political as well as technical considerations. What do you tell students when they ask you, will the president do this, when you know the president can't do this?
It's a process, and we tell students, one, to get engaged and get involved, that registering to vote is one thing, but actually voting is another, to write their congressman. They had the opportunity on yesterday to talk to Benny Thompson, to talk to Congressman Watt, and share their voices and their experience and their expectations in reference to what they expect out of the administration. The voting for any elected official, it's a contract between that elected official and that voter. The voter votes for Obama or vote for Malcolm Graham or Anthony Fox with expectations in mind. They need to share those expectations and work with the office holders to make sure they come to fruition. Process and election is not a sprint. Issues like student loans is a marathon. So the president does need members of Congress to support the legislation that's coming forward. He does need members of the Senate to work with him and to make sure that those individuals are engaged and cognizant of what's going on. They really need to make sure that folks are involved and engaged.
Dr. Carter, you know, we hear sort of mixed messages about participation among young people. There's just sort of this zeitgeist kind of feeling that young folks are less likely to get involved. They participate less, and yet in the last presidential election cycle, they participated a great deal. What's your sense of their engagement, the students that you have, just generally coming into this conference, about their interest in the process?
Well, let me start by saying a very important point was pressed in U Future by Hill Hopper when he made the statement in 2008, the elections were historic, 2012, personal. So the students will approach this from a personal point of view, and I think this issue of the Pell Grant will hit home for many of our young men and women who are concerned about how they're going to finance their education. So I want people to understand that the 300 students we heard and saw yesterday were concerned from a personal point of view.
What were some of the other issues and topics that you heard raised in this conversation?
A broad span of issues related to finance, related to technology, related to innovation. But I sense that they really wanted to know what is going to happen to their lives in the educational process. How are they going to afford this?
Michael, let me come back to you for a second and ask you about your sense of what your voice means, how much your participation in this really counts. Do you believe it does?
I do believe that the voice of the college student does count. One of the questions that I had was, how can we become more politically involved? How can students who are in the midst of voter apathy become more aware of what is actually going on in the politics? We need to know more things on who to vote for.
Lauren, how about you? How important is it? Well, the question is whether or not you feel that you really have a voice, that your vote and your questions actually matter for the people you're talking to.
I do believe that our voice matters in this particular election because at this point it's kind of close because a lot of people don't necessarily agree with Mitt Romney. A lot of people don't necessarily agree with Obama's choices that he's made. So at this point, having the knowledge of what to do and what not to do and building awareness is going to be very beneficial for young voters at this point, because we just don't want to go out and say we voted. We want to make sure that we're making the right decision. And so we don't want them to perish because of the lack of knowledge, but we want to build that awareness. And majority of the time, and I'm a student leader on campus, I find that building awareness and getting down in the grass and in the dirt and doing and having those grassroots and engaging the students and peers work. On our campus, we have a program called Run DNC, and it's been very enlightening and encouraging about the, just the different events. We had different governors and different congressmen and women coming in and speaking to us, and we were able to pose questions and sit around and have forums about what's going on. So it's not like that we don't know, so we'll actually be able to make a conscientious decision. So I do believe our voices do matter.
Tell you what, we're going to take a break right here. Want to find out a little bit about what you learned, what surprised you about this process, and we'll continue our conversation. We're talking about the youth vote today with students and officials from Johnson C. Smith University, and we have North Carolina State Senator Malcolm Graham with us. Our conversation will continue from Spirit Square in Charlotte on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us. This is the State of Things broadcasting from Spirit Square studio of WFAE in Charlotte. I'm Frank Stacio. Today we're talking about the youth vote with students and officials from Johnson C. Smith University here in Charlotte. President Ronald Carter is with us, along with North Carolina State Senator Malcolm Graham and students Michael Jordan and Lauren Simmons, all here as well. And just before the break, Lauren, you were talking about getting students together, having these forums, talking with representatives in Congress and other elected officials. So what are you learning, and what has surprised you most about this conference that you took away, something you didn't know before it started?
Overall, just looking at the entire spectrum of the event, I saw that this election is going to be very touchy. And it is personal, and we're going to have to really make some decisions on what works and what doesn't, and the importance of spreading knowledge past those 300 students and past those that was on Skype. And as a student leader, it made my job even harder at this point, because now we have to build more awareness about what's going on. And what I really took from that was the answer that I needed about student loans and making sure that it's in conversation and it's not just something that's on the table. It's something that's actually being discussed. And for me, what's personal about the election is my education. I'm an advocate for education. So that's what I went in really wanting to hear, what they had to say in regards to that matter.
Michael, what did you learn?
Some of the things that I've learned is to really get rid of voter apathy, to not really listen to the whole independent party per se. And ways to get involved in political awareness, it starts by registering to vote and also tuning into some of the channels and some of the articles in the news to see what's actually going on in the debates. Some of the other things that I've learned is that there seems to be like a cyber divide between, both parties. You can tune into MSNBC to check out how great Obama's doing and ways to promote the DNC. And you tune into Fox News and they're giving more conservative ideas and how to promote, the Republican Party. And I've just been doing that over time and becoming more aware.
How do you get your news?
I get my news by tuning into maybe CNN over broadcast, sometimes radio news articles.
How about you, Lauren?
I don't want to say I'm a political junkie, but I have always been in tune with politics. So I watch different television shows and I read different articles. And some I just go out and I just listen and observe to what's going on and make sure it's factual.
Senator Graham, we now know, and certainly the money is playing an ever more important part in the life of a candidate. And I want as candid an answer from you as possible. How important is it to get young people, to get more people involved in the process when it's the big donors and people with a lot of money who actually have an awful lot of influence? And I would have to think, if you're a political operative, you have to focus on them and not bringing new people in.
I think you have to do both. Certainly, if you're running for city council or state senate, that tends to be a lot more localized campaign, grassroots in nature. So you need people power. You need young folks to help you go in these neighborhoods and these precincts, put up those yard signs, go to the neighborhood meetings, meet presidents of neighborhood association, block meetings, etc. You need people. You need people power. You need their minds and their technology. Obama won the campaign 4 years ago because he sneaked up on a lot of people with technology and Twitter and Facebook. 4 years ago, no political candidate had a Facebook page or a Facebook account. He stole that election literally by using technology over McCain. Young people bring that expertise to the to political campaigns. And just as we try to educate our students about investing their education once they graduate by investing back in alumni dues, they have to invest in political candidates as well. You get what you vote for, and sometimes you have to make sure that candidates are well financed and they get their message out. When I first started running for public office 10 years ago, I was able to walk to precincts. Now precincts are 150,000 voters. I have to do mass mailings. I have to get on the radio. If you're a congressional candidate, that's a $2 million campaign. So literally you have to be able to have the grassroots support, the people power, like the students, as well as to identify big donors to invest in campaign. And we hope students will, as they mature, will be able to invest in campaigns as well.
Dr. Carter, what do you think the politicians, the people sort of on the other side of this, took away as you're sort of watching this process take place? Were they do you think anybody was moved off of their stump speech and their pat answers when they were engaging this somewhat different audience for them?
Oh, yes. I think the politicians who were there, as well as the business leaders who were there, came to have a very honest discussion with the students. And the agreement was that we would not hear stump speeches, but we would respond specifically to the questions raised. And I just want to comment on what Malcolm Graham said in response to your question between those with wealth and the young people. We are deliberately at Smith teaching our students the process and how to challenge wealth when it tries to take over the process. We still have one person, one vote. We want, as Lauren said, to help them understand what the issues are and let them vote their minds in this election. But we keep before them something else. This is just not a presidential election. We have members of Congress running to be reelected. We have community leaders trying to get in at the civic level. We want them to see this as the big picture, and they can indeed make changes from ground up.
Lauren, you talked about being a political junkie. It's something that's obviously important to you. You're a student leader on campus. Not everybody is there. How do you reach, and maybe you can give me a profile about that body of students who are not interested. Who are they, and is there a way to reach them?
Wow. Well, currently I'm an RA. Residence assistant, and we have to do different programs to not only social events, but to build awareness and academically as well. Some of those students, you just have some people that just don't care one way or another. You're going to have that all the time, but you also have some students who you might sit down and talk to, and they're like, you know what, I didn't even look at it in that perspective. And one of the problems is sometimes the knowledge isn't there. You don't have anyone going in and speaking. And it's like, how do you engage all of your students? You have to, you know, it's like you have to be able to reach them on where they are. We have metropolitan students and we have traditional students. And so it's like you have to be able to meet your metropolitan and your students who just came in at 18. They're like, oh, this is my first time I get to vote. So we have to grab them early. And then you already have sophomores, juniors, and seniors who've already begun to develop their own identity of about what they're getting ready to do. So you have to kind of like monitor how to reach them. So it might not just be a social event for one, or it might be like an ice cream social to say, oh, we're going to have politics and ice cream. Or then you might have to and then you might actually have to have an actual forum for your intellectuals. So you have to be a little bit savvy at how you reach the students.
When you hear from students who say they're not engaged or they're not interested, is it because they hadn't thought about it or because they have and they don't really see how they play a part?
I think what it is the media plays a role in it, because if the media has already tainted their mind, it's kind of hard for us to go in and kind of switch that around.
Forgive me for interrupting, but what's the taint? Tainted how?
Just the two different types of debate. Some people don't like the negativity. Mm-hmm. Some people like to stay away from politics in itself because of what it attracts and because politics, just saying politics is just touchy alone. So a lot of people are taught in some traditional families and cultures that, you know, you don't talk about politics at dinner time. We don't discuss those type of issues. But now is the time to actually raise those type of questions. And so it's kind of like re-socializing them to understand what they need to.
Well, Michael, I know you've thought a little bit about this question of voicelessness and whether or not you have a role. And in fact, you are not only an international business student, but a part-time poet. Is that right?
Sir.
You participate in the slam poetry that they do pretty regularly here in Charlotte.
Slam Charlotte in McGloin Theater.
All right. So can we have a sample?
Sure. This poem is to represent voice, to give one a voice. Open to lateral direction, was fear and its reject welcome, to fear success and mend him, to the sheer will expansion of the Club of Folly. You see, the Club of Folly wouldn't allow the righteous to be a member, with their walls of burning timber, supporting cinder, with sound of accelerating article, ink form article stated, this building will never extinguish. Sound from long ago, word from wind case blow, shake of windpipe shows, that when you allow fear to choke, it leaves a limb in the body broken, fast in load. This is a fact fighting back alligator and moat. Spiritual bracelets and its beads show the decree of he who speaks and preach of life planting seed.
Michael Jordan, a student at Johnson C. Smith University here in Charlotte, who participated in an event that brought students, business leaders, and politicians together to become engaged in the political process. So what prompted you to write that poem?
Well, I was in the midst of a crowd where we just decided not to become politically aware. And one day, I really lost my notebook, and I wanted to write about what was going on in the debates taking place on TV and everything. So I picked up my notebook, and I said, well, this poem is going to represent actually having a voice. I would always hear of how when we actually vote that the Electoral College would just choose the president anyway, as if our votes don't even matter. And when I presented this poem to some of the students, it actually changed their perspective on actually having a voice and that their vote really counts.
When you hear a speech last night, Michelle Obama gave a great speech by all accounts, and Julian Castro's speech again seemed to motivate a lot of people, but obviously he's speaking to the faithful. What effect does a speech like that have on you when you hear those speeches? I'll start with you, Michael.
Well, it's more of like a wow, I didn't know that moment. And it really would push someone to actually become motivated into getting involved in things. That's the kind of effect it has on me.
What about you, Lauren? You're watching the actual events of this convention unfold. What impact do they have on you?
I actually listened to bits and portions. I actually listened to Michelle's speech and bits and pieces of the earlier speakers in the convention. For me, it made me take a self-evaluation. And begin to really think about my choice. For me, it made me really begin to think about a lot of things. I'll just put it that way.
Senator Graham, what did you learn in listening to these questions and in participating in this event?
That the students are eager for information. They want answers. They deserve answers. They're the next generation of leaders. I think they see when they saw Congressman Wyde and Congressman Clyburn and the others that were there, I think a lot of them saw themselves there 10 years from now, that it was possible, that many of the members of the Congressional Black Caucus were graduates of historically black colleges and universities. I am, too, a graduate of Johnson C. Smith, and they're leaders, leading our country, leading our state. So I came away from the event feeling real good about our students collectively, all the students that were there, and especially the students at Johnson C. Smith University. We were engaged in Democracy 2012 since January of this year with Lyceum Series and workshops and seminars and Run DNC and voter registration. We don't tell kids who to vote for. We're a nonpartisan campus. But we believe that if students will vote their interests, that will lead them in the right direction. We would love for Romney to come on campus. We would love for Obama to come on campus. And I think if they were to come, that they would find an engaged student body ready for the future.
Lauren, one of the complaints about events like this, about a political convention, is that everything is so scripted. There does not seem to be a spontaneous moment in the entire event, Republican or Democrat. And I don't know if that occurs to you. Do you have that feeling? Do other students talk about that or not? But if you do, then sort of what message do you take from that?
Well, you can only use what benefits you in a sense, even if it is scripted, because you can go in with an idea and then you'll hear something else. And then you have to kind of figure out how does that apply to you and what can you take from that? And then how can you use it and then give it to someone else? And so that's kind of like the mindset that we kind of have to have when we go into those type of things. Because even on last night, I heard some things that I had previously heard earlier during a specific speech. And so it was like, okay, I've heard this, so how do I take from that? And then how do I use this? I don't agree with that, but how do I use that? So I think that's one of the issues.
All right. Michael, what about you? Same question. It's scripted event, very highly polished, not a lot of spontaneity. You're a young person. Do you track that? Does it do you think it's true? And if so, does that bother you? And then how do you deal with it?
No, I do think it's true that a lot of the events are scripted. I studied some of the body language with the politicians and just did a series of videos, kind of like an overlook of the videos, and did, yeah, you know, hey, how are you doing? You know, it's like the same thing repeatedly. And I actually wanted some insight so I can change my perspective on it being the same thing.
Dr. Carter, what have you learned in this process? This was the first, sort of U Future program now, and what did you learn in doing it? Are you going to do it again, and what will it look like the next time through?
Well, let me say that students have already come to me saying that they would like this done before November for the entire campus, just for Johnson C. Smith students. So I'm very delighted about that, and we want to try to make that happen. We have learned that this is the beginning. Now, let me say that students left frustrated because they did not have time to have their questions answered. The Congressional Black Caucus Institute has agreed to put up a Facebook page where they will engage the students and continue to answer the questions. So I think we have a dialogue going now.
I wonder, I'm going to ask Michelle and Michael the same question, what you think has to happen to make the process more open, more accessible, not just to you students, but to everybody who'd like to participate. What could be done to make it more accessible?
One, everyone doesn't have access to technology like we think they do. We have to look at the community as well. And I think by the colleges being in different communities and wanting to raise awareness with students, to really get student involvement, we say, oh, let's use Twitter. We can take the students to the library or do different trips. You know, we have to be very innovative when we say we want to get others involved. It's not just the same methods because they don't always work. We live in a different generation. So the message doesn't have to change, but the method has to. So I think that's going to be one of the tools.
Michael, what about from the other side, the system itself? Is there anything about the way the structure, the way the political process works that has to change, do you think, or should change to make it easier to have access?
I do agree that the method does have to change. With the Facebook and Twitter page that they had posted up with the U Future event, again, like a lot of the students didn't have their questions answered, and it was done more of a random. And I think there should be like different sections of where we're going to answer questions from Twitter, now we're going to transition to Facebook, and then text. I believe it would be easier that way.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program today.
Thank you.
Great talking with every one of you. Talking today about the U Future program with the president of Johnson C. Smith University here in Charlotte, Ronald Carter, also North Carolina State Senator Malcolm Graham, and two students from Johnson C. Smith, Michael Jordan and Lauren Simmons. Coming up on the State of Things, we'll talk with some delegates from the North Carolina delegation here in Charlotte for the Democratic National Convention. Stay with us.